This is Mikey Pod, episode 113 for December 24th, 2007. I almost said 8. It's almost the new year. Happy Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, etc. to everyone. And I'd like to make a special note today. My voicemail has changed. It expired because no one had called me in a month, probably because I hadn't done a podcast in a month. The new number is 206-202-4178. I'm heading to Las Vegas tomorrow. It's going to be great. Maybe I'll do podcasts from there. Who knows? And I'm rambling at this point. I miss talking to you guys in this way of sort of conversation about what's going on with me. So there'll be more of that in the new year. I'm feeling revived about podcasting. So you'll hear more from me in the new year. And I have some special treats, including some cool interviews that I didn't think I'd be able to get. More music from lots of labels who are happy to have music podcasted. And I miss talking to you guys. So let me know how you guys are all doing. MikeyPod@gmail.com. The website is MikeyPod.com. And the number again is 206-202-4178. This is Mar with a celebration, after which we will hear the interview, a conversation really, with my former roommate from the commune, Kurt Morrow, at Koinonia Partners. Hello, everyone, and enjoy the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Matt from Dichotomy.net. Mr. Mikey Pod himself has allowed us to graciously host a little ad on his latest podcast, basically pimping out our music blog. It's me and my friend Rachel, and we are huge music fanatics and just like to talk about music and listen to ourselves talk. So feel free to check it out. Sometimes it's a little too obscure for some people. A lot of electronic bleepy music is something we're both into. If you like that, cool. If not, you can suck it. So check it out. Dichotomy.net. DichotomE.net.
Joining me on the phone right now is Kurt Morrow, my former roommate from Koinonia, and he's been first I should say, welcome to the show, Kurt.
Hey, thank you, Mikey.
So we were just talking about how weird it was to have this conversation as like an interview. So
yep.
That's why we're kind of dorky. So so you've been you decided to become a community member of Koinonia when I left. When we were both interns together and you decided to stay. So how's it been going?
There's been good and bad times. It's been really good though.
Yeah.
When you stay at a place for a year, you put a lot more energy into the relationships like we started when we lived there 4 months.
Yeah.
You know? And it's interesting to see people live at Koinonia who's lived here for, 5 or 6 years or 8 or 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And Koinonia seems to, there's not as many people who stay here long term as in a lot of other communities.
Right.
But still, there's people who've lived together 5 or 8 or 10 years, and that's a really long time. And it's just neat to see how those different relationships, develop, you know?
Right.
So, I recently moved in with a family, which they've been here. This is Pendergast. I hope it's okay to say.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Yeah, and it's just they're both in their mid to late 20s, and they have 2 kids, and it's just there'd be very few circumstances other than a place like this, where a 21-year-old single guy would move into a house with a family we're not related or anything or,
right.
So it's just, and it's nice to get to know we have a lot of visitors who come through, which, yeah, I'm sure, I don't know why I'm telling you this.
Well, it's good though. Cause not everyone, I may even have listeners who weren't listening when I lived at Koinonia. So it's good for us to talk about what that is. So yeah, keep going. Do what you're doing.
So yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic that you don't really see a lot of places. I didn't see a lot of places before I moved into a community type situation. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally a different thing. But then at the same time, today I was just telling some people that at the place where I work, which I actually am not naming because I say really negative things about it. But I've just mentioned that, before I moved to New York, I lived on this farm that's kind of like a commune kind of thing. And people are like, really? It was this bizarre thing to do. And it seems like it. And it seemed like it to me before I went there. But then when I was there, it was this is really just a farm where a bunch of people live. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And if anyone's listening, if anyone's listening that this is still kind of really odd to them, you don't really get it until you visit one,
yeah.
You know, and each one's different. So I'm sure each intentional community has a different experience, but it's not something you could talk about and be like, ooh, I know exactly how that is, unless you visited or stayed there for a week or a month or 10 years. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. So are you guys living in the duplex? Is that right? Do I remember that correctly?
Yeah, we're living in the east duplex.
So, but you and I lived in the west duplex with Ross, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, so all those guys like pretty much moved out. It was Israel and Matt Daw. Yeah. But then I just got an email from Matt that he's visiting Koinonia again and he's back there.
Yeah, he came about he came down for the SOA and then he stayed till like Wednesday or Tuesday of this week.
Oh, okay.
And he's going back to his family now.
Okay, cool.
So yeah. And he was at the Open Door Community, which is a community in Atlanta that helps with, or the, its main focus is homelessness and justice, and they're right downtown in Atlanta.
So yeah. Like it's,
so it was really neat talking to him, yeah.
So that's a totally different, wait, what?
It was neat talking to him, just hearing about, like, he's a really quiet guy. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this.
He but probably like, yeah.
Just, you can, like, just hearing, talking about, you know, just, like, keeping a place clean and hearing about, like, injustices in the city, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah.
It's totally a different thing because Koinonia is so rural. That's a weird word to say, isn't it? Rural.
Yeah.
And Open Door is right in the middle of Atlanta, right?
Yeah. You've been there before, right?
Yeah, there was one weekend I actually was there with Matt and Bren, who is the director of Koinonia. Is that the right word for her role?
Yeah.
There? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, SOA just happened, too. So, that was what sort of gave me the idea to talk to you, because you were able to go and I had wanted to, and I didn't get to go to this, it's not really a protest. It's like a vigil, right?
Yeah. I'll say it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. So you're so good at this stuff, like talking about these things, because I'm bad about details. So tell us all about the School of the Americas, Kurt.
Okay. So the School of the Americas is currently located in Columbus, Georgia, at Fort Benning. It's now called the WINSEC, which is a Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. And basically what it does is it trains Central and South American soldiers in counterinsurgency methods or whatever. That's the official line, you know, to protect democracy. And
right.
But, you know, like, it just doesn't seem to be that way. Like, there was training manuals that were leaked in the late 90s that showed, you know, this at the same time people were alleging that they were teaching torture, and then the training manuals were leaked, and they showed some forms of torture, you know? And it's just, and if you've ever heard anything about, like, America's or United States' involvement in Central and South America, you know, it's just a long history of keeping down people's movements that threatened our economic, you know, like, our economic strongholds and Central and South America, because, like, we're still, like, sucking all the wealth out of there.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, there's, it was November 18th and 19th, I think, or sometime during then. And it's, there's two main days, and it's the Saturday and the Sunday, and the first day, the vigil protest is held on this big road that leads up to the gates of Fort Benning. And for the protests, they put up, like, fences, but normally it's just, like, a line.
Right.
And Saturday is a day where mostly people just, there's a lot of groups there that are talking and sharing stories about, you know, personal experiences, because, you know, there's people who's, like, seen some of the stuff that happened and knew some of the people that got disappeared or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, they've got a stage and they're speaking, and then they have musicians, and then they have a lot of different political groups, each with kind of their own agenda, but it's a good place to network, I guess.
Right.
I guess. There's also some capitalistic people sucking all the nice liberals' money out of their pockets.
Like with T-shirts and stuff like that?
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of cynical about some of it. But
I love the way you're cynical with such, like, a happy sound in your voice.
But like Sunday is the main day, and this year, I think the cops said there were 10 or 15,000 people there, and the organizer said there were 25,000 people there. So somewhere probably in between that number. And what happens is they have kind of an introduction, and then they spend like 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, and everyone gets into this kind of, like, they call it a solemn funeral procession. And what happens, like, everyone gets, like, lined up, not like in a single file or anything, just all together. And they walk down, and people are carrying, like, crosses and names of that's been killed by SOA graduates.
Right.
And a lot of them are children, or, like, some of them are unnamed, but, like, they know whose, like, spouse it was, or, you know, it's just, or spouse he or she was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really amazing. Like, and so they're walking and they're putting crosses on the fence, and, you know, there's the cops looking and staring at the people, and then there's the soldiers on the other side of the fence looking at people, and then there's, you know, these 25,000 people remembering the people who were killed by people trained at that school. And the whole time people, like, they read the names of the people they know. Mm-hmm. That were killed by people who graduated from that school. You know, just one at a time. They kind of sing it and then do a gong, which I guess has some spiritual significance. But yeah, it didn't last, like, just reading names, it lasts like 2 or 3 hours. And yeah, and it's just like that's the vigil part of it, and I think that's what's the most. It's the thing that makes it, like, it's the most powerful part. That's what I was thinking of. It's the most powerful part of the weekend. And then every year there's people who cross the fence in kind of like a civil disobedience and protest against the just the SOA.
Right.
And I think this year there were 10 of them, and normally they all get arrested, and normally they serve 3 to 6 months in jail.
Right.
But this year, though, which I was just really surprised. I mean, you might remember last year, they had, like, a big sign at the front that said, like, crosses that had the names on it could only be a certain size.
Oh, yeah.
But this year, like, they enforced it. So, like, they had, when you walked in, there was, like, this field. Well, like, it was the piece of land beside the road with, like, I don't know, like, 40 or 50 crosses, and someone put a sign, like, these are the crosses that are too big for cops that would, they're too big for the cops, so they won't let us take them in. And then there was Sunday, there was 3 people who were carrying crosses that I guess were bigger. They bigger than what was allowed in. They weren't huge or anything, and they weren't, like, sharpened like a knife or anything. Like, it wasn't any security threat or anything. And the cops basically told these people that they couldn't take the crosses down. They couldn't take the crosses in. And they were like, no. So, like, this year, like, 3 people got arrested for that, just not being willing to take their crosses down.
For having crosses that were too big.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, I don't know, there's just so much, I don't know, when I think of the SOA, I just see, like, I guess in religious terms it would be evil, but, like, stuff that screws up the world, you know? And I don't think that's right. And I'm not, like, a very good speech maker or anything, but, you know, like, and they're doing it because they're using my name as a citizen of America as backing for their, you know, their economic stronghold in Latin America and their military efforts to keep it that way. And I think things like this kind of just expose that lie. Like, people aren't happy with it. And
things like the vigil itself, the protest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got kind of on a soapbox there.
No, that's cool. That's why you're here. Soapboxes are welcome. The thing about it that, like, is really, I guess, frustrating to me is that, like, when I was there last year, I realized this is, I mean, and to me, it was primarily, like, a spiritual sort of event, I guess. I mean, it's civil disobedience in that people are, you know, crossing over onto the property and doing civil disobedience. But then, like, the whole, I mean, it was such a, like,
a peaceful sort of soul to it, I guess. And it just seems strange that there's so much. I mean, I guess they're expecting or afraid of like a riot breaking out or something, but like this is the last place I would ever imagine that happening, because people don't seem to be really angry. I mean, it's like more of a kind of mourning thing to me.
Yeah, I think it's also partly intimidation, because there was a lot of cops here this year. I think there was more cops here than last year. And just like, in one way, it's kind of disheartening just like to see everybody, yeah, I know you're being watched and know, you know, like the powers that be aren't happy with you being there. But it's also kind of like, wow, they're scared of us and we're totally peaceful and there's no one yelling or throwing anything or, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that kind of just shows some of the cracks in their power. And, you know, like 20,000 people just there just thinking and praying and for peace and mourning the people who were murdered by Latin American soldiers who were trained by America, which means we're complicit.
Yeah.
Like, that's powerful. And, yeah, I think one day, hopefully, the world will get better by things like that. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know either. I mean, I like to think that it may, but then, I don't know. Am I just idealistic in that way? Like thinking that it has to get better?
Yeah. The world will have to get better soon.
I mean, whether what better means all of humanity is like killed off.
Yeah.
Or not. Yeah.
And for me, that kind of like that vision and stuff is like, it's religious, I guess. I guess you can call it religious, spiritual. Anyhow, you know, like Koinonia talks about like being the God movement or whatever.
Yeah.
And just, you know, like, I believe in God. I don't think God wants the world to be this way. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that can be such a, like, yeah, because it's hard for me when I talk about that, because then it's like, well, why did God let it get the way that it is? But then, well, because God wanted us to, you know, be able to do what we wanted, and we kind of screwed everything up, you know?
Yeah. Like,
so, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
Sigh. Among the things that you have introduced me to, including Shane Claiborne, who wound up being on the show after, like, you're the first person that I ever learned about him from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I am moving on. I'm really important.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because, like, there were a lot of things, like, that first conversation we had at Koinonia when I got there, and I was so like, what? Because I really went to Koinonia with this sort of, like, total no idea of what I was getting myself into. So, like, that conversation that I had with you, I had never heard of Dorothy Day or Shane Claiborne, because you lived at, or you did Mission Day, right?
Yeah.
No, Mission Year, sorry.
Yeah,
that's cool. A little bigger commitment than Mission Day.
Yeah.
But, and then you stayed at the Simple Way, right? Were you there for a week or something? Am I remembering that right?
No, I never really stayed there. I met with a bunch of them, and I spent like a day or two there before.
Okay.
Just having lunch or having meetings or whatever.
I love the way I just create my own history for you.
Yes, I founded the Simple Way.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew you were going to do great things. So yeah,
it was originally called the Kurt Way.
The Kurt, but he didn't want to be so, you know, egocentric. So, but you also told me about the Psalters, who we should listen to right now, and your favorite song by them. You say is it, you didn't say favorite. You said one that you really like. So I should make sure I do that correctly. Is Old Glory? Is there anything you want to talk about the song before, or maybe about the Psalters? They're really interesting to know about, and you know more about them than I do.
Yeah, well, they're a traveling band who kind of formed or kind of used themselves as a community. And there's, I don't know, 8 or 9 of them. And they're Christian. And just like their mission is to, you know, I don't know what their mission is, but they're very openly Christian. Mm-hmm. Like, and not in a bad way either, I guess. Not in a bad way to me.
Yeah, to me either.
And there's a lot of musicians, and there's like, it's almost like a circus-y show. I've been to a couple, and there's like, you know, 8 or 9 people playing all different instruments and electronic stuff, and people screaming, and people dancing, and people, you know, just doing whatever. It's a very kind of audience participation dash part of the show.
Right.
And they've kind of like, I mean, they're not making any money. Like their merch table is basically like all donations.
Okay.
And they have actually have a biodiesel bus, an old school bus that converted to biodiesel, which is a really cool thing. If anyone owns any diesel cars or anything, you can convert it to run on used vegetable oil. And just, yeah, and they're kind of this mix of, I don't know, indie gypsy, I don't know, tribal music.
Right. It's really like, it's its own sound. I don't even know how to describe it. Because it's very, yeah, maybe we should just play it.
Cool. Okay. And just to let everyone know, like, they have no copyrights or anything, so they're all, like, this music is everyone's, woohoo.
Yeah, and we love that, because that means I can play it on the podcast without getting sued. So, yep. Yeah, so this is The Psalters with Old Glory.
We'll have an update for you, a special report on the war in Iraq in just about 5 minutes. And checking business right now, the Dow up about 95 points, the NASDAQ up 25. We'll have an update for you, a special report on the war in Iraq in just about 5 minutes. And checking business right now, the Dow up about 95 points, the NASDAQ up 25. We'll have an
you've been at Koinonia almost for a year now, or a year and 4 months, counting the our time as interns.
Yes, that is true.
So do you have any plans for the future? Have you decided whether you're going to stay there another year, or?
I'm not sure. My plan right now is to make a plan as soon as possible.
Okay.
But, yeah. We, as a community, are kind of moving towards, like, more of a commitment to stay here. Just to build a stronger community, and you have people who are kind of like the pillars of the community moving on after staying 3 or 4 years. You know, like, that there's only a certain amount of, like, deep relationships that can blossom, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's something we've talked a lot about, and just, you know, like, making a deeper commitment to each other, and just everyone's kind of thinking about their place at Koinonia now, which is a really healthy, like, place to be at, I think.
Yeah. So that's the cool thing about Koinonia. You know, just that, I don't know, like, you have those conversations with just individuals, or one does in one's life, but, like, to have that sort of conversation with, like, a whole group of people that you live and work with, it's just really interesting. And, like, in a very positive way. So, yeah, so that is to say that you haven't decided yet. So,
in a very long, roundabout way.
Yeah, I just sort of, like,
decided yet.
And I stretched it out even further for you. So, yeah, it's just, I'm trying to think of what people might wonder about, because you're 21?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's really, like, in the world of not communal living, that is really bizarre for a 21-year-old to be, like, hanging out with, you know, people at Koinonia. So I'm trying to, like, get into that sort of mindset and figure out what people might wonder about, like, because, you know, the big, like, in the sort of material world, as Madonna might say, that people are really focused on, well, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do for a career? And, you know, what is it like for you when you get those kind of questions from people?
Well, I kind of have a different mindset of the just, like, thinking about a career or thinking about retirement or stuff like that. It kind of goes back to wanting to see the world a better place. Like, I don't think with the way the world is, like, if everyone just, you know, goes to college, or not going to college, not that any of these are a bad thing, but if everyone just, you know, focuses on themselves and, you know, goes to college to make more money so they can get a better job, and they have to go to a job, which they hate, but it gives them more money. And, I kind of see through that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think that's not the way I want to live.
Right.
So I'm trying to, the material world, or, like, as Madonna would say, like, you can't really be fully a part of it without oppressing other people. Like, our American lifestyle is based upon exploitation of, like, the rest of the world, basically, you know?
Yeah.
And, I certainly wouldn't want to force people to work. You know, force children, why not? Or force anyone to work for, you know, like, a nickel a day in horrible conditions, which basically, like, slowly killing them. I wouldn't want to do that, but, you know, so that means I shouldn't buy the cheap T-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
That was made in Honduras by child labor. You know, and just kind of like that on a larger scale, if I'm not sure if I'm making any sense at all.
No, you are. It's fun. Like, I just had this conversation recently too with someone of, like, how do you decide? Well, like, one of the things I think about lately is, because I struggle still. I think I finally, like, decided to go vegetarian when I was at Koinonia, and then, like, it's been off and on since then. I've been wanting to go vegan and all that, and then like, people in New York City, like, are really wearing fur coats right now. And every time I see one, I'm like, oh, what? Like, how are you doing that? And then I think, wait a minute, I'm still eating dairy. So like how, like what, see now I'm doing the same thing I think that you were doing where it's kind of hard to describe that sort of mindset of, well, if I really don't want to support the people who wear fur or, you know, the fur trade, then I also really don't want to support eating cheese and supporting factory farming, but I'm doing it anyway. So I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I really have admiration for people like you who are really so connected with what you believe in and what you do and don't want to support that you're able to like really do it.
But I try to. I don't really though.
Like, you're like, oh, not me. I really kind of suck.
Yeah.
But yeah. So crazy. I wish we had done a Kurt, Mike, and Ross podcast.
Yeah, I saw Ross at the store the other day, just to let you know.
How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. He's, I think, working like as a fruit packer or something.
Okay.
Or, I don't know. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. I was having a hard, like, there was so much going on at Koinonia. Like, I remember, like, I would go one day, I'm staying here in, like, totally wanting to stay at Koinonia forever. And then, like, halfway through that day, I'd be like, there's no way I could live in this fucking place.
Yeah, I go through that, too.
Yeah.
It wouldn't, if you stayed on, you wouldn't not have stopped asking yourself that question.
Yeah, but it's, it's an interesting place to be. Like, now that I'm not in that sort of, like, swing of back and forth, because asking all the questions about whether I wanted to be there really caused me to ask questions about how I saw myself and what was valuable to me that I don't think I would have started asking any other way. So it's good.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And I still like have doubts about, like, I was talking this last interview that I did with Jane Sibri, who is someone that I totally love, and I can't believe I got this interview. She's someone who, I don't know if I talked to you about her when I was there. She probably like 2 years ago, like sold all of her belongings. She was really popular in Canada and sort of popular in the United States. She sold all of her belongings or, you know, gave things away and like pared her life way, way, way down. Like she sold her guitar and now has just this little sort of rehearsal guitar. And we were talking about her decision to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty intense.
Yeah, but it seems like it's really working well for her. But this conversation came up about now that I'm like living in New York and starting to like start nesting again and sort of building a place to live. Not building the place, but you know, like bought a bed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, I don't know, it's totally a different thing. Like starting to like, because I did, when I left and went to Koinonia, I got rid of everything pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny to start buying things again. And I think of it entirely differently. Like there are things that are little weights that are going to like plug me in and make me
stay
somewhere.
It's really easy to buy a lot of worthless crap.
Yeah.
I mean, even like for me who doesn't really make, I live on a stipend.
Right.
But, you know, like it's still so much easier to buy worthless crap. And even stuff that's fun, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not all worthless, I guess. That's unfair.
Yeah, it's hard to decide, like, all those things. But it's good for me, anyway, to have those thoughts about, like, what, is this something I really should be spending my money on? And but not in just that, like, oh, I should save my money way, but in that sort of sense of what, like, my idea of what I need is a lot different now. So, yeah, anyway, there's something deep for you. Deepish. So I guess maybe we should wrap it up. We've been talking for a while.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, yeehaw. I'm glad that
you... Do we have like a special wrap-up thing? We should have talked about this before then.
We could like... I could cut out this conversation we're having right now and we can decide some special wrap-up and then do the wrap-up and I'll edit it later.
Oh, wow.
Does that make sense?
Did I just ruin your podcast?
No, not at all. Like, oh, okay. If you wanted to, we could leave this whole conversation in about cutting out stuff.
Or we could just stop. And or we could cut out. I don't know. I'm sorry.
No, totally. Like, really? Like, it's totally okay.
Okay. What do you have in mind?
I don't know. You said, see, we totally have to leave this part in because it's funny. So what you said wrap-up stuff, like, what kind of thing might we do?
I don't know. That's as far as I thought.
We could end with a different song.
Okay.
Is there like what are some other what are some other, like, I'm looking at a little list of artists from Potter Street Records, which is what Salters is on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Jess Carper?
I've heard the name. Is that the Try On Life guy?
Yeah. Is that a good song?
Sure. I like this song, yeah.
Well, let me tell you the other artists. We might as well. And it'll be a little commercial for Potter Street Records. John Malinan. Ann Weiss. John Felton and his Soulmobile. Never Even. Okay, it looks like we're going to go with Jess Carper.
Okay.
Is that a good song? Or is there like some other community-related sort of song that you would like me to play?
I can't really think of any.
I've totally like destroyed our momentum.
No, that's fine. I'm more relaxed now. I was like sitting up and shaking the whole time. Not shaking, but kind of.
We should start again then, now that you're calm.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Okay, so let's do like, maybe I'll edit some of that stuff out that we just said so we can go smoothly into Jess Carper. No, we won't.
Okay.
We should leave it off because it's funny. I think it's funny to hear this kind of like randomness. So yeah,
okay.
So we'll end the show with Try On Life by Jess Carper.
Great idea.
Hey, yeah. So thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thanks,
Kurt,
for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And everyone enjoy Jess Carper.
It fits like a glove and feel what it's like to be free. Try breathing and seeking to be an instrument of love and encourage one another on the journey. Give thanks to the land and the sky up above and pour your energy into building a community. Space for the traveler to stop and put some love in. Be a shelter from the rushing and the pushing and the shoving. Let the music lay all night so we can sing and dance. Grow good organic food and lots of bright flowering plants. Put it in a pot and stir it up with lots of loving. Roll out the dough and fire up the cob oven. Dig into the dirt so you can take a stronger stance. Educate, relate, and be creative with resistance. And try on life, it fits like a glove. Feel what it's like to be free. Try breathing and seeking to be an instrument of love and encourage one another on the journey. Give thanks to the land and the sky up above and pour your energy into building a community. Source of the sun's energy. Feel the healing vibrations of light's far-reaching projections. Open up your arms for caring and sharing your affections. Strive for sustainability, give back to the land, plant a tree, grow a garden of souls and minds, for the harvest will be plenty. Try on life, it fits like a glove, and feel what it's like to be free. Try breathing and seeking to be an instrument of love and encourage one another on the journey. Give thanks to the land and the sky up above and pour your energy into building a community. try making a life, filling two new eyes with sight, as husband and wife spin their love and unite. For unity is the healing force that creates, as community blooms from its embryonic states. Give children wings for flight so that they just might find new ways of making the light shine more bright. Sing with them, dance with them, learn with them, help them carry their weight. So cherish them, for they grow at alarmingly fast rates. And try on life, it fits like a glove, and feel what it's like to be free. Try breathing and seeking to be an instrument of love, and encourage one another on the journey. Give thanks to the land and the sky up above, and